We'd like for you to be able to take notes and hang on to these lessons. This is the last lesson in our series, Transforming Truths. We've studied many verses, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. I wanted to kind of run back through them real quick just to restore your memory a little bit, jog your memory a little bit, but you've got your paper there. If you missed any lessons, write these references down. You can go back and look at these verses this week, but every scripture in the Bible is inspired by God. It's all God-breathed. It is all good and beneficial. It is profitable, the Bible says. But there are some of those, there's some verses that just speak so much truth and have so much power in them, just in one little verse. And we studied a bunch of those. And two that we studied were Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, if you want to write that down, if you missed that, great lessons there about giving our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Philippians 4, 13, many of you know that verse. It's an incredibly popular verse. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most popular verses in the world. We see it with athletes and all kinds of stuff like that, but you know, what I love about Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said that in the midst of a jail. He was in prison. He had suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And in the middle of the persecution, he says, I can do everything through Jesus. And so, you know, we use it sometimes to say I can get through a bad day because my coworkers are jerk. And that's true. And you can claim that promise there. But it goes so much deeper than that. So much greater than that. Galatians 2:20. It's where the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's one of my, I got lots of favorites, but that's one of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible. We're to be dead to ourselves, we're alive through Christ, and we can live for him when we die to ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We can overcome temptation. If you struggle with temptation, how many of you struggle with temptation? How many of you are lying? Okay. Yeah. I mean, we all struggle with temptation, right? And so 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. When you mess up with the temptation, praise God we got 1 John 1:9. If we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Matthew 7:12, this is the golden rule, and when we need to learn to treat other people the way that we want to be treated. And even among Christians, I hear people so many times say, you know, they did me that way, I'm gonna treat them the same way they treat me. That's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to do. We don't go around treating people the way they treat us. We go around treating people the way we want to be treated. And that's the way Christ wants us to live. The power to witness, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, Acts 1:8. Then we studied grace for every need, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we looked at verses 7 through 10. But there at verse 9, Jesus told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so we have the grace of God, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And then Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, we learned about the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. And I love verse 9. Is a great encouragement. Remember, we studied last time that reaping and sowing is both exciting and terrifying. On the negative side, when you sow sinful things, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap the consequences of your sinful actions. But on the positive side, when you sow good, godly things, spiritual things, you're going to reap eternal life. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. And so let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So stay faithful, keep keeping on for Jesus. And tonight we come to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Some of you were already yawning before we even got started, so let's stand up. Hard to fall asleep while you're standing up, unless you've been in the military, and then you know how to do that. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you'd help us to learn truths tonight that will transform us and change us. Lord, please forgive us when we're not changed, when we go back to our fleshly ways and we live in the flesh and walk in the flesh instead of in the power of the Spirit. Please forgive us and cleanse us and help us to be what you want us to be. Tonight I pray that you would just speak to us through your word. Help these truths to sink down into our hearts that we can hold on to them, Lord. Help us to hide your word in our heart and help us to meditate on the truth of this word. And if we have never memorized these scriptures, Lord, help us to meditate on them now, tonight, and this week that we can learn these things and have these in our heart. Lord, help us to trust you, to lean on you, and to acknowledge you in everything. And please bless now and help, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to think for a moment about Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was a faithful young man, and how was Joseph rewarded for his faithfulness in his family? Right at the end, but by his family in the very beginning, how did his family reward him since he was the good son? Yeah, well, you know, the good son. They all loved him, right? I'm so proud of Joseph. He's so good, and I just want to be more like him. You know, he does what dad says, and I'm just so encouraged by him, right? Yeah, not so much. They threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery, which was a step up from what they wanted to do. They're just going to kill him. And you guys don't understand that because nobody here has ever wanted to kill their brother or sister, right? No, okay. Not for real? Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, and I don't care this is being recorded. There were times my sister tried to kill me. She just didn't want to or thought. She tried. And if I'd have been just a little bit slower, I would not be here today. So you can say whatever you want to. But those brothers, they hated Joseph. They sold him into slavery. Man, you think about that and how he went into slavery, then Potiphar buys him and sees how blessed he is and how, man, everything he touches just goes great. And there's a spirit in this young man, and he recognized it, and Potiphar was smart enough to exploit it. He's like, listen, you're in charge of everything. And he set him up in charge of everything, and everything went great, and said, you can have everything I have, except for, he didn't have to say it, Joseph just knew, you can have everything but my wife, you can't have her. Now, Joseph knew that, but Mrs. Potiphar, she didn't get that. She didn't get that. She stayed after him. You remember how he finally, she tried to force him. She grabbed his coat. He ran away. She used that to accuse them because she was scorned. She hated him. He ends up in prison. Now, think about Joseph sitting in jail in Egypt. Man, he's done everything right his whole life. He's tried to be good. He's tried to be obedient. He's tried to do what God wanted him to do, and look at where it got him. You ever feel like the harder you try to do what's right, the worse things get? Amen. Yeah, well, that's where Joseph was. And Joseph, you're never going to find this when you read about Joseph. You're never going to read that he mumbled or he murmured or he complained or he spoke against God or anything. You just see Joseph doing what's right. You just see Joseph giving glory to God. You just see Joseph trusting in God. Every time you see him trusting God, loving God, and honoring God in everything, even in the midst of all of his trials. Now, he didn't have the scroll with him for Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but Joseph understood this truth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And wherever he was, he trusted the Lord, he leaned on the Lord, he acknowledged the Lord in everything he did, and God blessed him greatly for it. At the end of it, God uses him. He's second in command over Egypt. At that time, the greatest power on the planet, the greatest empire known to man at that time. He's second in command, and he's able to save not only Egypt from this terrible famine, but he saves lots of other people too most importantly, his own family. And so just because he stayed faithful to God. Now, I want you to think about your life for a minute. I don't know where you're at in life right now. I don't know what decisions you might be facing. I don't know what changes might be coming to your life. I don't know what issues you may be dealing with. But there's a truth in these verses. There's some truths in these verses tonight that will change your life if you'll apply them. If you'll do what these verses say, it will change everything in your life. And so let's learn about it tonight. Number one, trust. We hear words in our Bible like trust, faith, believe. And we know that all of those have, at the core, they're the same thing. Trust in the Lord, believe in the Lord, have faith in the Lord. But there's a little bit of difference to them. And let's learn just a little bit about the different connotation when we think about trust. Letter A, trust means to be persuaded. To be persuaded. And if you're persuaded by something, it moves you to action. Listen, this idea of trusting in the Lord is more than just thinking God is good. It's more than just thinking that God is sovereign. It's more than just thinking that God loves me. It's more than just thinking that God is there. This is trusting the Lord, and it means that you're fully persuaded that He is who He says He is, and He'll do what He says He'll do. Trusting in Him means you're completely persuaded that God is who He is. Everything that happens in our life, whether it's good or bad, it may not always be authored by God, but it is always allowed by God. In other words, whatever comes in your life may not be part of God's perfect plan for your life because everything is the result of some other decision. In other words, when something bad happens to you, somebody treats you wrong, God doesn't want people to hate you or be mean to you or evil to you, but God allows that to happen. And whatever happens in your life is allowed by God. We've said it so many times, it's Father filtered. If it gets to you, it had to go through God to get to you. Everybody get that? Doesn't mean that every terrible thing that happens on the planet is part of God's perfect will, but God can use everything to accomplish His will. If you're going through a trial, you do not have a reason to doubt that God allowed it and He has a plan in it. So be persuaded. Trust. Be persuaded that God is good, and ultimately everything He allows in your life is for your good. Letter B, be obedient. To trust means to be persuaded. It also means to be obedient. If you're convinced that God's ways are the best ways, then what way are you going to go? Godly way. I mean, if you're convinced, if you're trusting Him, if you're persuaded God's will for my life is what's best, doing what God's word says is what's best, then you're going to be obedient to it. It's going to move you to obedience. Obedience to Christ is a key to prove that we really do trust the Lord. Now, if you say you trust God, but you don't do what He says, then you don't really trust Him. Everybody down with that? Okay. I told you before about the uncle that was terrified of flying, and his family had been trying to get him to visit for decades, and finally he gave in. He did not want to fly. He was so scared, but he went anyway. He just didn't trust airplanes. He just didn't trust them. But he got on anyway, and he got off the plane, and he was a little bit wobbly leg getting off, and they were like, how was it? You know, you made it. We're so proud of you, whatever. And he got off. He said, I just want you to know, I never put my full weight down in that seat. You know, we got trust issues, and we've got to learn to trust the Lord. Letter C, to be willing. We have more than one will inside of us as human beings. We have the will of our flesh, and we have the will of the Spirit when we're saved. When you're born again, believer, we have two natures. The Bible speaks of the inner man and the outward man. Though the outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. We have the old nature and the new nature. We have the carnal nature and we have the spiritual nature. And those have wills. And our flesh has a will, and the Spirit of God in us has a will. And as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have a fight on our hands. If we're going to trust the Lord, we're going to have our fleshly will broken. And we're going to have to trust God and do His will. We've got to have His will, be willing. If I was to take an envelope, just imagine with me for a second, I got an envelope up here. And let's just say inside this envelope is God's perfect plan and will for your life. It's right here inside this envelope. How many of you would be willing to take it? God's will for my life is in it. All I got to do is take it and read it. How many of you would want to know what was in it before you accepted it? No? Yes? You see, now, on the outside, I want to say, God, you tell me what your will is. I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm ready to do whatever your will is. But I'm just telling you, in my flesh, I've got this will that says, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, then I'll decide if I want to do it or not. Anybody else have that problem? And what's crazy about us is sometimes God just flat out tells us what His will is, and we don't do it. And all the while, we'll cry and moan the fact that we don't. I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. But you got a whole list of stuff you know God wants you to do you're not doing. So why is He ever going to, if our will isn't right in those things, He's never going to give us the other stuff. So we've just got to learn to be completely surrendered to the will of God. That's part of trust. Think about Joshua in the Bible. And we studied it last year. You'll remember we went through the book of Joshua. But man, when they come up to the city of Jericho and the angel of the Lord, the captain of the Lord of hosts, he appears to Joshua and he gives him instructions for what to do. And Joshua just says, all right, that's what we're going to do. And without hesitation or reservation or question, he just says, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. God's messenger came to me, told me this is what we need to do, this is what we're going to do. And it seemed crazy, didn't it? March around the city one time every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, let's go around it seven times and blow the trumpet and yell. I mean, this is not the typical battle plan, right? I mean, Joshua was used to stuff like, all right, we're going to split up. Half of you guys are going to go down here. The rest of us are going to lay in wait. When they all come out, then we'll get them from behind. I mean, you know, good, solid military strategy. This, march around the walls of the city where they can throw stuff down at you and all kinds of stuff can go wrong. But they just did exactly what God said, and the walls came tumbling down. Listen, that's what trust is. Trust is not, God, when your plan matches my idea, I'm down with it, or anything like that. No, trust is, what does God say? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be persuaded by it. I'm going to be obedient to it. And I'm going to give in my will to do His will. Number two, lean. Lean. So what do you think about when you think about leaning? Leaning. Leaning on the pulpit, that's right. Now, when I'm leaning on this, I'm doing a couple of things. I was waiting in line at the store. I went shopping for Christmas for about 5 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, as a side note, I love Amazon.com. Man, we feel a little bit sorry for the ups, man, that has to keep coming to our house. But I went in the store, but I was standing in line, and the line, of course, is back out around the thing, and I'm standing there waiting. Of course, I got my phone out, got to do something, and I leaned up against this thing, and it moved. And there was another lady leaning on the other side, and she about fell down. It was awesome. Listen, when you're going to lean on something, it's good to make sure it doesn't have wheels on it. Right? The lady was smart enough to lean where the wheels weren't turned that way, but I wasn't that smart, so it was bad for both of us. When you lean on something, there's a couple of things you do. First of all, you're relying on it. Letter A is to rely. You rely on it. When you lean on the Lord, you are relying on the Lord. A lot of times we try to reason in our minds what God's will must be. We get scenarios in our minds. We weigh out the pros and cons, and we try to figure things out on our own. But when we're leaning on the Lord, we are leaning on Him. We're relying on Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And when you try to lean on your own ideas It's like leaning on a cart with wheels. It's going to fall right out from under you. And it's not just going to mess you up, it's going to mess everybody around you up too. Lean. It means to rely on Him. We don't want to lean in our own understanding. Never rely on your own ideas. We do that, don't we, though? When I'm trying to make a decision, so many times in my life, I've thought, okay, I'll try to picture the outcome and how I think things are going to go. And then I'm like, well, this will be good, but that won't be so good. And I'm trying to weigh it all out. I'm trying to figure this out for myself. I'm just here to tell you tonight that when you try to lean on your own understanding, you're going to fall. Don't lean in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Lean on Him. Rely on Him. We have our own hopes and our dreams. We convince ourselves that they've got to be what God wants for us. But we just need to learn to be surrendered to Him and rely on Him. Letter B, not only to rely, but to rest. To rest. When you lean on something, you're resting on it. If I lean on the pulpit, it's holding up some of my weight. I'm resting on it, right? Finding comfort. When we rest in something, we're finding comfort in what we're resting on. We try to find a place that brings ease and contentment to it. Now, when we lean on our own understanding, we're resting in our own ideas. We're trusting in ourselves. But we can't do that. We've got to learn to lean on the Lord. And you would be amazed when you start to learn to lean on Him, the kind of rest, the kind of peace, the kind of contentment it'll bring to your life when you just lean on Him. I don't have to do this on my own. He never called me to do this on my own. I can lean on Him. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When you are trusting in the Lord, you don't have any reason to worry about anything. You guys ever worry? What's the first thing you do when you get worried about something? Pray about it. What's the first thing most of us do when we're worried about something? Worry about it some more. Worry about it some more. Stress about it. Think about it. Mull over it. I mean, I don't know. I read several years ago that I can't remember the statistics, but it was mind-boggling. Almost all of the health problems in America today are related at some level to stress. Stress make you sick. I mean, not just mentally, not just emotionally, but physically sick. It'll mess up your heart, mess up your blood pressure. It'll mess everything up. And so we've got to learn to rest. There's no reason for us as Christians to worry. We're supposed to trust in the Lord. We got to lean on Him. When we lean in our own understanding, we're going to be stressed. We're going to be worried. We're going to be burdened. But when we lean on the Lord, we can rest in Him. What's the Bible say? Philippians 4:6. Be careful. It means don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, you guys help me out. What's the difference between being concerned about something and worrying about something? Is there a difference? Okay. What if I'm concerned about something? Can I be concerned about something without worrying about it? I'll tell you where I think the difference lies. If I'm concerned about something, I take it to the Lord and I give it to the Lord. And next time I think about it, I take it to the Lord. I don't carry the burden of it. I'm concerned about it. It's always there. But I take that burden, I give it to the Lord. Now, if I'm worried about something, I don't give anybody the burden. I carry the burden. I'm worried about this. I'm consumed with this. I don't know what to do. I've got to figure out a way to handle this. I've got to figure out a way to fix this. I've got to figure out a way to tackle this. It's all about me and how I'm going to deal with it. Concern is when you're worried you are worried about something, you take it to the Lord and you give it to Him. And you trust in Him and you lean on Him and say, God, I can't do anything. I need your help. And we would do well to realize that everything in our lives is something too big for us. Everything in our lives is too big for us. We just need to give it to the Lord. You can be concerned about something without worrying about it if you trust in the Lord. He says, don't be careful for anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So when you do that, he gives you peace. Number three, acknowledge. Acknowledge. It means to perceive or to recognize. When you deal with radios, like pilots talking on the radio, or in the military when guys are talking back and forth on the radio, sometimes they'll say acknowledge at the end of a transmission. Why? If I'm talking on the radio, that thing's one way. I mean, I can only talk, and they have to listen, and when they talk, I have to listen. And so when I'm on the radio talking, I want to make sure that they know what I said. And when you're flying airplanes with traffic control, those guys talk faster than an auctioneer. And they'll give you out these instructions, and they'll say acknowledge at the end of it. And your job as a pilot is to hear them, understand them, and to read back to them what they said to you. Because they want to know. They want to know that you understand their instructions. Well, listen, we need to acknowledge what God's saying to us. We need to read him loud and clear. We need to understand what the Lord's trying to, we need to perceive and to recognize. But think about it for a little bit. This acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Our ways is our manner of life, our journey, our direction, what we're doing, our daily walk. That's our way. And in all our ways, we need to acknowledge God. Everything we do, we need God to be a part of it. Is God a part of every part of our lives? He is. He's always there, right? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always there to guide us, to teach us, to help us, to give us strength. But he wants us to acknowledge him. Have you ever been through a day where you didn't acknowledge God since you've been saved? You know, most of you that have been saved for a minute or two have had those days. Unfortunately, there are Christians today that are backslidden, that they've not just gone a day without acknowledging the Lord, but weeks and months or even years. And that, I think that's a reality. It's a sad reality, but it's a reality. Listen, we need to acknowledge God not just every day, but every moment of every day. Amen. With every thought. How do we do it? Letter A, through prayer. Through prayer. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. Word came about the condition of Jerusalem, God's holy city, and he was devastated. And you remember the king looked at him and said, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? You're not sick, but I've never seen you like this before. What's going on? And you remember what the very first thing Nehemiah did was? He prayed. Before he even answered the king, he prayed. Before he said a word to the king, he prayed. And there's a great lesson in that. Whatever trouble, trial, struggle, or just any moment of every day, we need to pray. And the second we pray, we acknowledge God. That's what you're doing. When you bring something to the Lord, you're acknowledging God. God is always available to you. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How often should you pray? There you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And so tonight, when we leave here, I want all of you to leave with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Walk by faith, not by sight. Drive by faith, not by sight. I see people driving by something besides sight every day. What does it mean? It means that our heart is in constant communication with the Lord. Listen, when somebody calls me and says, or texts me, and I get them all the time, pray for so-and-so, something's going on. I ought not have to get in my prayer closet and spend an hour getting myself straightened up with the Lord so that I can be effective in praying for somebody. Right? Listen, if I call you and say, please pray for this, I'll just go ahead and tell you, the people I call in a situation like that are people I know that are going to have their heart right with the Lord. The best I can know. Nobody's perfect, but I mean somebody that's striving to be close to the Lord. When I've got a burden, I don't call the people I know that haven't been in church in 30 years. They're not on the top of my prayer chain. I love them and I appreciate them, and God would hear their prayer too. But I just listen. We need to pray all the time. We need to have our heart in constant communication with the Lord. One of the greatest prayer warriors of all time is George Mueller. He had orphanages all over England, and over his lifetime, he was instrumental in the care and just the life, really, of over 10,000 orphans. And he was a man of great faith. He was a little bit what most people would consider not very good, because he didn't have the money to run those orphanages. He didn't have the funds to do it, and he never asked for any funding from people. He ran those orphanages and took care of those 10,000 kids by prayer. He did it by prayer. They didn't always have what they needed, and I've told you about this story before. One day in particular, they got all the kids together. They prayed before every meal and gave thanks. They got all the children into the dining hall. They all sat down, they bowed their heads, and they gave thanks for the food that they didn't even have. There was no food in the pantry. There was no food in the kitchen. There was nothing to eat or drink in the place, and yet he gathered all of them together. They sat down, and they gave thanks. That's faith, people. And as they prayed, just after they prayed, a baker knocked on the door of the orphanage, and he had bread left over and wanted to donate it to the orphanage. Isn't that incredible? But it gets even better, because just right after that, the milk wagon broke down in the road outside the orphanage. And they couldn't deliver the milk, and it was going to spoil, so they took it to the orphanage and said, "Here, we can't deliver this. Why don't you take it?" You say, well, I mean, that baker would have come by and that wagon would have broke down if they prayed or not. Really? See, I got it in my mind that because they prayed, God sent an angel down there and kicked that wheel off that wagon at just the right time. I mean, God answers our prayers. We need to be people of prayer, trust in the Lord. God can handle anything. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Let her be through praise. Can you think of anything that you have reason to praise the Lord for? When you praise Him, you're acknowledging Him. And He deserves all praise. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Everything that we have comes from Him. He gives our food, He gives our shelter, He gives our clothes. He is Jehovah Nissi, our banner. He is the one that protects us and watches over us. He is Jehovah Kadosh, our sanctifier. He is the one who works to bring us closer to Himself. Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd. He is the one that leads us day by day. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is the one who heals, and He is our all in all. Let her see through preaching. You acknowledge Christ as you proclaim His word. If you keep your relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, a secret, you're not acknowledging Him. How could you? How could we ever have a conversation with anybody in this world and talk about anything about ourselves without mentioning God? I mean, how can we say anything about our family without saying, you know, God has blessed us so much? You know what you're doing when you say that? Listen, if somebody asks you how you're doing, I love that we can say I'm doing far better than I deserve, and that's true. But I'm going to tell you, it it always catches my attention when somebody says I'm blessed. Most people say, oh, I'm doing fine. For every once in a while, you get that person that tells you everything that's wrong and been wrong for. But most of the time, people are like, oh, I'm fine. By the way, if I ask you how you're doing, I really want to know, and you can tell me, just as a side note. When somebody says I'm blessed, I know what they mean. At least I think I do. My assumption is if somebody says I'm blessed, that means that they know that what's good in their life didn't come from them. They have an understanding that God's been good to them. And listen, we ought to take every opportunity we can to let people know God has been so good to me. When somebody asks me how things are going at the church and they ask the pastor that sometimes, I try to always remember to say, man, God has been so good. God is really blessing. I don't just say we're doing great. We're doing awesome. I might say, the church is doing really good, or I might say we've got a lot of really good people in the church, and I might say all those things, but in the midst of it all, I try to always remember to say God has been so good to the church. What am I doing? I'm trying to acknowledge him. And we do it through prayer, we do it through praise, and we do it through preaching. Tell people, share with them the word of God, share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, share with others what God has done and is doing in your life. Trust, lean, and acknowledge. And if we can learn to acknowledge him in all our ways, then he shall direct our paths. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a life that's directed by God. I want to go the way he wants me to go. I want to do the things he wants me to do. That's the kind of life I want. And I can have it, he promises right here in his word, if I'll just trust, lean, and acknowledge him. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. Would you stand with me, please? No better time to acknowledge the Lord than the invitation time. Maybe there's something you need to get right with the Lord. Maybe there's a burden on your heart, and you've been trying to lean on yourself, lean in your own understanding. Tonight, maybe you just want to come and lean on the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't lean on yourself. But acknowledge him tonight in prayer. Come and lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus. Maybe there's some other decision you need to make. I don't know what it is that's in your heart. I know this. If you'll surrender to the Lord, he will guide your steps. So if he's convicting your heart tonight, would you come while we sing?
Page 530.
Number 530. 530. The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart tonight. Would you come?